Hey, sweet lovelies. Thank you for joining me on another episode of the Hormone Lifestyle Zone. I am so glad that you can hang out for the next hour with me. I'm your host, Megri Chichi, and this podcast series is about demystifying women's hormonal issues and struggles and the many little things that dance in between that I refer to as the dust balls of life. There's always something rolling across the floor. Always a life challenge or a curveball being thrown our way. And hopefully, I can help deconstruct some of life's messiness and provide some clarity. So if you haven't already, please subscribe on iTunes or Spotify. And if you are new to this podcast series, I am so delighted that you could join me today. And welcome to the Hormone Lifestyle Zone. If you like what you're hearing, share these episodes with other sweet lovelies in your life. It can make such a difference. It really can, because I really want to spread the word and helping women demystify all these struggles that they're facing. I also appreciate a good review because it brings other women like yourselves to the show so they can get the information that they need to address some of those dust balls in life. I'm really excited about today's podcast for a variety of reasons. I've decided recently to start bringing clients on as a guest to the Hormone Lifestyle Zone, as I am today. I want these women to share their health journey, their life challenges, their story, a story that may sound familiar because for many of you listening, it's your story too. When I bring clients on, I feel that it's just so much more relatable, and that's why I'm trying to kind of switching gears in my podcast, because I want to be able to provide you with information through sharing the stories and having my guest on this podcast series. So a lot of you are experiencing fatigue, gas and bloat, difficulty losing weight. You may be experiencing joint pain, low libido, elevated thyroid antibodies, UTIs, vaginal infections, undiagnosed PCOS, breast implant illness. Maybe you have an undiagnosed autoimmune disorder. You know, you're getting lab results that show nothing related to why you feel so crappy. And your doc is telling you that there's nothing wrong while suggesting possibly an antidepressant or maybe a proton pump inhibitor because you're getting GERD or acid reflux. But that's not getting to the root of the matter. And a lot of women that I work with have given up on conventional doctors because they don't trust them. And there are a lot of really good docs out there. But the problem that I hear from so many women is that they don't feel that their symptoms are being taken seriously. We're going to explore that with my guests. We're going to explore the root causes for health issues. We're going to get to talk about peeling back the onion, allowing women to give birth to the best version of themselves. Because who you wish to become resides in the potential of who you presently are. And today, my lovely guest is Julia Marie B. Julia is a fashion content creator and influencer for the past 8 years, and she has this tremendous following on Instagram, and she uses her sense of style and personality and sees her perspective that help women get dressed. And such wonderful information. What I love about her is she's very transparent, she's very down to earth, and that's why she has such an incredible following. So let me give you a little backstory for Julia. Back in 2019, when she was about 37, Julia decided that it was time to clean up her diet, and she started working with a trainer for about a year, and she felt really, really good. But in 2020, she started noticing that she was gaining weight, and she continued to gain weight over the years, actually putting on 30 pounds. And she also had some other health issues that were pretty chronic. She had a lot of sinus congestion. She had a ton of lung congestion. She had a lot of digestive issues from gas and bloat and constipation. I'm going to have her share her story. But she was seeing a lymphatic massage therapist here in Atlanta. And this practitioner had suggested that she start working with someone like myself, and Julia found me. And Julia started coming to see me in the beginning of May. And I am going to have her share her journey. I appreciate how much she's taken a deep dive into not just her physical health, but also willing to explore the deep emotional issues and the unresolved issues in her life that were coming to the forefront. I love that, again, that she's transparent. I love her drive And I also love the fact that she realized that her drive took her to the point of success at the cost of burnout, and her body let her know. So again, we're presently working together. Julia's making incredible strides. I've also requested that she see a doctor for a full physical and extensive labs. And she's refused to do that in the past, and she can talk a little more about why she felt this way. I believe in not throwing spaghetti on the wall and seeing what sticks. I run my own labs, which I've done with Julia, but I also feel it's important for people to have a primary practitioner. So, sweet lovelies, before I bring Julia on, I want people to know that if you like this podcast and you like the information that I'm providing, you may want to reach out to me and explore the possibility of working together. You can find all my contact information in my show notes. You can also reach me at megricici.com, and we can schedule a discovery call and see if we are a good fit for one another. I love the work I do, and it's one of the reasons why I've created the Hormone Lifestyle Zone. So, without further ado, Julia, welcome to the Hormone Lifestyle Zone.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
You know, I just moved into a new apartment, and I was setting up all my equipment. And earlier, a couple of hours ago, I dropped my mic and my mic stand on the floor, and it turned the volume down on my mic, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. Julia could hear me. I couldn't hear her. Had to call my producer, and then we figured out that my volume was down to zero. So we are here today, and glad that we could. There's always a technical difficulty. It's whether it's the microphone or I get, you know, blowers in the backyard. So, Julia, you know, we had a great conversation a few days ago about your kind of your life journey.
Yes.
And I'm going to let you kind of share with clients why you came to see me in May.
So I started having weight gain issues around the time I hit 39. It was like 2 months before my 39th birthday. And it was just gradually weight gain. I felt like poor circulation. I decided it was poor circulation, just like tightness all over the body. The inflammation was really bad. I just felt uncomfortable in my skin. You know, when your skin stretches from the inflammation and bloat, I just felt like that 24/7 for literally like 2 years straight. And the beginning of 2023, that's when I began seeing my massage therapist for lymphatic drainage massages. I went weekly for about 2 months, and that really cleared everything up with just a good diet, exercise, and the lymphatic massages. I started dropping weight. I dropped about 18 of the 30 pounds.
That's amazing.
Which is great. And then I had surgery in October. I did a breast reduction, so major surgery in October. And after, my health took a complete nosedive. Constant inflammation, constant just bloating, inflammation, joint pain. I travel quite frequently, and every time I would take a flight, the day after the flight, I couldn't move. Like, I couldn't even lift my head. I was so weak and tired. And so I was like, all right, well, lymphatic drainage massages worked before. Let me go back to my massage therapist. And I started going weekly again for probably a couple of months. And I would feel good, like 30 minutes after my massage, and then it all just came back. Mm-hmm. And after a few months of that, she and I, you know, she's very into holistic health, just as I am. And we were both just at a head, like, what, we don't know what to do anymore. Like, we have no clue what to do. And I was like, let me, you know, find a holistic health nutritionist to help me figure out what's going on with my body and why it's not functioning properly. Cause I just, more than anything, more than losing weight, more than what I look like in the mirror, I want to feel good in my skin. And I was miserable. Mm.
So you came to see me. Mm-hmm. And you had, I think it was a nurse practitioner
that
had said the potential of, which I was concerned about, that you might have cystic fibrosis.
Yes.
And cystic fibrosis is an issue where one of the symptoms is that it involves the pancreas, but the body produces excess mucus, particularly in the lungs. And I was concerned about that. So you came to see me, and we changed your diet. Some of your symptoms, you had aches and pains, excessive mucus. You were fatigued. You had no energy. Mm-hmm. And I cut out gluten and dairy.
Yes.
And we worked on constipation and digestion, because that's where everything starts. Everything starts in the gut. So when I'm seeing, and you had a lot of sinus issues. How long did you have sinus issues going on for?
The lung mucus has been 12 or 13 years. But
I can't believe that's, I know.
Yeah. That would usually be seasonally, but then around 39, it stayed year round.
Yeah.
And it just continued to get worse and worse. And then after surgery, it was, I couldn't even function. Like I can't walk and talk at the same time because of the mucus in my chest.
It was a tipping point. Surgeries are very traumatic. It's very common for people after surgeries to have an autoimmune response.
Yeah.
They can have an elevation of antibodies. I've had a client where Crohn's acted up because it's a big stressor to have a surgery. Mm-hmm. It really, really is. And I feel that, and I'm going to have you go into this more, you know, you worked very, very hard to get where you are today in terms of your business. And I think what it was your body just hit a wall. You had a surgery, you kept going, going, going. And it was, I think it was a perfect storm. Mm-hmm. Makes sense as she smiles. Yeah. In Chinese medicine, we call it the will that cannot be willed. And that's the adrenals and the kidney energetics. And there just comes a point you can't push anymore. No matter how much you push, your body's like, screw you. I can't. I'm going to sit on the couch. I ache too much. I just want to soak in a tub. So what we did is I took, you know, I look at everybody's journal. And you had dairy in there. And anytime I look at anyone's food journal, I look at it so differently than people do. I look at what are the patterns? What are people eating? What are the possibilities that could be contributing to this person having issues? Dairy and gluten was a big deal. So we cut out dairy and gluten. And, you know, I can talk about some supplements after, but tell people what happened. When you started making, I put you on an anti-inflammatory food program. You were great. You followed it.
I had no idea that I didn't think I had a gluten intolerance at all because I day to day, I don't eat it. Maybe like once a week or, you know, or PMSing, that's when I indulge. So I didn't eat enough for it to be, for me to notice, or I was just used to it, I guess.
But I saw it in your food journal every day. And a lot of times what happens, I think you were traveling with traveling with your niece. A lot of times people say, oh, this is not typical. Sometimes it really is because we don't jot down what we're eating.
Right.
We don't see the frequency of certain foods. So anyway, go on.
Yes. So I didn't think I had a gluten, but I also didn't have it every single day with every single meal. It was more, it was definitely weekly, but it wasn't every single day. And so when I took gluten out, one, I felt amazing immediately. I thought I had poor circulation in my legs. It was just, I guess, inflammation and joint pain from the gluten is what it was. Mm-hmm. And I know I told you when we spoke last that I dabbled while traveling in some gluten. And I'm so happy that I did because I was able to see an immediate reaction of the joint pains and the inflammation. It wasn't nearly as bad as what it had been, but it didn't feel good. And I knew it was the only thing I'd eaten. So I knew that's exactly what it was.
Yeah. And sometimes I say to people, I'm glad you've done that. Not if you have celiac, but it's good to see what happens when we reintroduce foods. You know, I love bagels. They are the one thing I miss. But I remember, I think it was last year, I actually had a sandwich on a croissant and I felt so ill. Like 20 minutes later. I mean, I could feel it. And I was like, damn it. Mm-hmm. I just don't do well. And one of the issues with gluten is that we don't have the enzymes, the complete enzymes to break it down. So what it does, there's a few things that it does, but it actually causes a slight tear in the lining in the GI tract. And then it takes a few days and it heals. If for some people, there are a variety of factors that are contributing to inflammation in the gut. But if you can continue getting those little tears, it's inflammatory, creates a leaky gut. I think gluten doesn't work for anyone. I've taken everyone I know that eats gluten, you take them off and suddenly they're less puffy. Also, it's sprayed with glyphosate. And glyphosate is a terrible pesticide. It's just evil shit. And, you know, one of the issues I see a lot of times when I'm dealing with thyroid issues or autoimmune, like thyroid antibodies, that's kind of like my theme this week on Instagram and TikTok, is glyphosate. So you couple glyphosate with gluten and you've got a really nasty perfect storm.
One of my followers, when I mentioned I shared about gluten and I had it, she actually sent me something. I didn't know what it meant. I was like, I don't have time for this today. I don't have time to research this today. But she actually sent me, it's not the gluten. It's the whatever you just said,
glyphosate. Yeah. It's both. Hey, listen, who doesn't like a bagel? Who doesn't like a bowl of pasta? Mm-hmm. But a lot of times with gluten, and I want to get back to your story, but I want to kind of push this home. A lot of people think, well, I don't get gas and bloat. Well, have you been diagnosed with ADHD? Do you have anxiety? Do your joints hurt? These are symptoms of gluten sensitivity. And I do, which I didn't do with you. I just knew that we had to take you off gluten. I didn't even have to be psychic about it. But I do extensive testing where I will look at the various proteins in gluten. And for a lot of people, they need to see that to be committed to the fact like, holy crud, this is really contributing to maybe my anxiety, my fatigue, why I'm so tired all the time. And how much dairy did you have in your diet?
Not much.
It was the gluten that was giving all the... So I want to get back to something. Julia had so much phlegm, white phlegm, like gobs of it. What did your doctor say when you had issues with the lung
infection? What was it, 12 years ago? I had an x-ray taken and he was completely shocked. He's like, how do you not feel that? He told me, how are you breathing? I was diagnosed with, I think, bronchitis. He said, if I waited another week, it would have been pneumonia. If I waited 2 weeks, I may have died because it was so bad. Mm. Like you literally couldn't see my lungs or my ribs. It was wrapped that bad in mucus.
So over the years, obviously after that, you went on antibiotics, but you still had copious mucus in your lungs.
Mm-hmm. Seasonally. I was then diagnosed with seasonal allergies. That's what they said it was. And then obviously the past few years, it went from seasonally to year round. And I'm like, this is not allergies. Like there's something else going on and I need a break.
How are your lungs now?
They are great. They're actually really, really good. Occasionally I get a little bit of mucus, but it's not bad at all. I can take the stairs again. I can work out freely again. I can walk and talk and eat at the same time.
Big deal.
That's a big deal. It's a big deal.
And you notice that you had less aches and pains.
Yes. With the gluten, as long as I don't have any gluten, there's no aches and pains.
Yeah.
I'm pretty active. I go to the sauna regularly. Mm-hmm. For me, it was solely the gluten.
And, you know, when we did that stool testing on you, your markers for inflammation were really high in the gut. You had a very leaky gut. And I didn't even do an extensive, when I do a wheat zoomer, I can do these extensive markers for to kind of, you know, give me a really good, accurate picture of how leaky your gut was. Your gut just from the gut zoomer was like screaming. And what I say to people when we have a leaky gut, you know, it takes some time. If you've had something going on for years, be patient. Give yourself 6 months. If it's super chronic, it can take 12 months. Yeah,
I can see it.
Yeah. I mean, because I want people to have regular bowel movement. I don't want them having constipation or diarrhea. These are things that are really, really important. So talk to me about your gut and constipation issues. Share what you want to share, because this is a big deal for women. I would say 70 to 80% of the women I work with in my world, they're either constipated or they have diarrhea
and
I've rarely had anyone have regular bowel movement without some other issues going on.
I have been constipated my whole life. Like my entire life, I haven't used the bathroom. I was told by another holistic health doctor, it's because I hold everything in, like my emotions and all of that. And I started seeing him like 2 years ago. And so I just made it a point to eat a fiber-rich breakfast and make it a point to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. For me, I do have the ADHD. For me, I have a hard time just stopping. Just making time for simple things like going to the bathroom, eating. I'm a go-go-go-go-go-goer. Yeah. And then after, I was regular for about 2 years, like every single morning, like clockwork. After my breakfast, I made time for it. And after surgery, difficult time using the bathroom. My stomach bloating and inflammation was aggressive. Like I have naturally a very flat stomach. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, one thing I enjoy about my body. And it just hasn't been flat in since I had surgery back in October. It's just really hard and round, very full on the bottom, below the belly button to the like groin area. And then since I have been working with you in May, it's like, it's been a slow process where it's slowly improved. And then the last adjustment we made on the supplements for
and
the drainage.
Castor oil packs.
I started that yesterday.
Yes. So there were some recommendations that I made to Julia a while ago. And I said, are you doing castor oil? Castor oil packs are incredible. Castor oil treatment for constipation. And you can look this up online. YouTube has some great videos. Look up castor oil pack constipation. And just having castor oil on the belly that also covers the liver, you can do it with a cloth that is soaked in castor oil, or we can do where you put the castor oil on the belly and then you put a heating pad and this starts to dislodge old fecal matter. It starts to stimulate the liver. It starts releasing bile. Bile is very good because it helps with bowel movement and it does a variety of things. But we really want to start detoxing and moving the liver and opening up that portal vein. And I am, when people are having serious constipation issues, I highly recommend colonics and colonic therapy. When you go to a really good therapist, I went to, when I was recovering from bulimia and my bowels were a wreck in my 20s, I went to this woman and it changed my life. I mean, it just, I had terrible gas. I was a wreck. And I remember she was an older woman. She had been an RN, a nurse, and that just changed everything for me. And my bowels regulated after that. So with dietary changes and things, but it really made a difference. But colonics are great because they're a way of clearing the bowels and kind of, you know, sometimes things just get super congested. So I'm a big, and I know that you're looking into that and you're, that's on your
it's on
agenda,
my to-do list.
On your list of things to do. Yes. I know she likes to make lists. So
it's on my to-do list today after this call.
I am thrilled. And I'm glad that we get to hang out and talk about these things. So you're also experiencing less aches and pains.
Yes, yes.
And your PMS symptoms, you had tender breasts, you had bloat. Tell me how is that?
I don't
changed?
Really. No, I haven't.
Please share that with women.
I will say, I like to say I'm lucky. I don't have bad PMS anyways. Like I don't cramp.
Some symptoms though.
You I have symptoms, but yeah. I don't have cramps or that. Yeah. I typically do get constipated the week before my cycle. I occasionally have tender breasts. I haven't really had that in my big age, but when I was younger, that was like every single month, no matter what.
Right.
And then just like food cravings, I think like most women. And I get grouchy. I get irritable. And the past few months, I feel like I've barely have known when my cycle is coming because I'm not having symptoms.
Yeah.
I'm not having symptoms. I am still, and I'm still working on the constipation. I still do experience constipation the few days before. So we're still working on that. But other than that,
you know, you've had it. Let's put it this way. You've been constipated since birth.
Yeah.
And did your mother nurse you?
Probably not.
Probably not.
I have no
idea. I don't have your notes. Were you a C-section or a vaginal?
C-section.
Okay. So if I can just go into this a little. Your microbiome, we inherit our microbiome, the bacteria in our gut, from the previous generation. So each generation inherits the next generation microbiome. So you inherited mom's microbiome. Mm-hmm. Part of that, and what happens when a mother gives birth, I mean, when you have a C-section, you don't get that christening of that vaginal mucus. You don't get that christening of the fecal matter going, you know, we sterilize everything. You're supposed to ingest a little fecal matter. It's like a fecal transplant. It starts to stimulate, you know, your microbiome. You need that. And when you're nursed, you receive immune globulins. So you didn't get that. So for you, those are two contributing factors, amongst other things, to your constipation issues.
Okay.
Okay. So that is why it's always important, and, you know, which I did with Julia, giving her specific probiotics to what she needs right now. That's what I do in the stool testing. And I mean, you're going to the bathroom. You will continue. Yeah, this is much different when we first started working together.
I would like to add for the PMS, I don't bloat anymore. which is wild.
That is great. You know, it's very interesting. PMS is the norm. It's not normal. Mm. You know, anytime a woman gets tender breasts, she's bloated, she's craving sugar, she's getting night sweats, she's cramping, that's your body telling you something's out of balance.
Oh, yeah.
And your body thinks something is triggering a state of estrogen dominance. Something is putting me in, I'm going to simplify it, an inflammatory state.
Right.
This is why your diet, the way we eat, is so profound in impacting our hormones and getting things in like cruciferous vegetables, like broccoli and Brussels sprouts and cauliflower. Well, why are they important? They have a compound in it called N3-carbinol, which converts to DIM. And what does DIM do? It helps you detox estrogen. It helps to it helps the liver in detoxification of hormones. That's a simple way of saying it. Okay. Why do we need probiotics? Because if the gut is kind of wonky and it's in a state of dysbiosis where you don't have enough good bacteria to balance the bad, you can actually get an elevation of an enzyme called beta-glucuronidase, which inhibits you from detoxing estrogen. You didn't have that issue, by the way.
Oh.
And because I always look for that marker in women.
I think I got something right.
You got it right. So if I see a high marker of beta-glucuronidase and somebody's constipated, not good. Because I want to make sure that any excess estrogens, you're eliminating through the bowels. The body produces what it needs, and what it doesn't need, eliminated through the bowels. So cruciferous veggies are really important. Food is our apothecary. So what I would love for you to do, mm-hmm. can you share your story of, you are very driven. You're a driven Capricorn.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I have a Capricorn moon. Mm-hmm. And you felt, you know, you were in this, and I'd like you to give your explanation, but my understanding, mm-hmm. you've lived in survival mode.
Yes.
Working since you were a little kid, you raised yourself. You weren't even a latchkey kid. I mean, you were beyond that. But you always were striving to succeed and do well. Mm-hmm. And that drive, as I see in many women like yourself, that makes you so successful, mm-hmm. there comes a point where we hit a wall, or we can say, you know what? I can't continue moving in this direction at this speed because I feel like I'm falling apart. And I think what happened for you after the surgery is that was the time for you, which you've been doing, to kind of reassess and balance. And I want you to share your story and talk about the changes that you made since we started working together. You're a big influencer. You know, this is your livelihood.
Yes.
You know, and you're very busy with that. And you were doing a lot and you were burnt out. And you hired and brought someone in. And I love the fact that you have a routine, that you go for your long walks each day. You work out. You, at a certain time, stop working. Tell people when you stop working.
Oh, like 3 or 4 o'clock. I may even stop at 2.
I love that you do that. When does your day start?
Right now.
I think you put in more hours than you realize because you have to do a lot of shopping and you don't call that work.
I don't call it work because it's fun.
But that is actually.
I would say when I first started seeing you, as far as my schedule, mm-hmm. I think more than anything, I would just pack my schedule and I didn't like balance. And when I started seeing you, I slowed down. I completely cleared my schedule. Any appointments, errands, anything that wasn't necessary, if I did not have to do it, if it was not a requirement for me to survive today, I'm not doing it. And by doing that and slowing down, I was able to take a look at, or create, I should say, like more of a time blocking schedule. So I give myself from waking until noon, that's my me time. From noon to 1, that's lunchtime. From 1 to 4, that's work. And from 4 to when I go to sleep, that's back to me. And then 1 to 4 is also appointments. So right now I schedule Sunday, Mondays are shoot days. Tuesday is an admin day. Wednesday is admin or appointments. Thursday appointments. Friday, Saturday, I'm not working. I was also finding myself doing like the small little tasks. I get probably 30 packages a week, if not more. The trash from that was ridiculous. I'm spending 5 hours a week steaming. So I did hire help. I hired some housekeeping like assistants. And that took a tremendous amount of work off my plate, just time-wise. It's not hard work. It's easy work, but it takes time to do it. And I wasn't able to actually do work, like income-producing work, because I was doing all these small tasks. And getting help really helped me to just structure my week better, to where I'm not, every time I get an alert, I'm not going to get a package. I'll let it just sit for days, or maybe not days, but the day.
12 hours.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. And then I'll just stack it in a corner for them and they can deal with it when they come in. I hold all of my laundry through the week, because that was insane. The laundry hours and hours and hours and never ending. And I felt like I was swimming in clothes all the freaking time. And just holding it for them. I just hold it for them. I wash it for them, but they fold and put it away. And it's like just those simple household tasks really took so much off of my day-to-day plate, where I was able to just breathe and like see life a bit more clearly.
So let's go back.
Okay.
People might go, wow, this sounds easy and life. Oops. And you worked really hard.
Yes.
Talk about your childhood growing up in.
Yeah. For me, I always say, like, I have parents, but I don't have parents. I was not nurtured. I wasn't openly loved. My father passed away when I was really young. When I was 5, he was my loving, hands-on parent. And then after that, I was on my own. My childhood ended at 5. I became an adult at 5 years old. And I learned as a child, if I don't provide for myself, I will not be provided for. If I
and
want
didn't to. Didn't you have to take care of other siblings too?
I financially provided in the house. I financially provided for my younger sister, and I financially provided in the house. Utilities, bills, whatever the case may be.
How old were you when you started working?
I would say I started making money, like babysitting and different chores, probably like 12, 13.
Right.
And so I just knew, I remember it being like 12, 13 years old and saying out loud, if I don't do it for me, it's not going to get done. If I want to eat, I'm not eating if I don't provide it. As soon as I started working, that's when I was no longer fed in my home. I went out and fed myself. If I needed toiletries, I bought it. If I needed a tampon, I bought it. I became an adult very, very, very early in life. And that puts, I think, one, I'm the eldest daughter. And I'm a Capricorn too. So I just had it in me anyways. I remember having like little businesses as a child and making keychains. And I showed my grandmother. I was like, oh, look what I made. She's like, what are you going to do with them? I was like, I'm going to sell them. Like, what do you mean? What am I going to do? Like, I'm going to make some money. So like I just had it in me anyways. Mm-hmm. And then growing up in that environment, it just, I guess, catapulted it. And that's just, I guess, my childhood background, always being in survival mode. Of course, I wouldn't say fight or flight because I was always fighting. So just fight survival mode. And
that's interesting that you, you specify that. That's true. Yeah.
There's no flight for me. I was like, no, we're doing this. Like, we're not backing down. There was just never an option for me to fail. Like, I think most people just accept life. They accept life as it comes and they just take the cards that they were dealt. And I was like, I'm not doing this. This is not my hand. I don't know. I don't know who handed me this, but I'm not doing it. So I traded them all back in. I traded all the cards back in and gave myself a new hand of cards. And fast forward, I guess, I would say I worked full-time, part-time, and I worked on my business for years before it became full-time.
So you went through, June 22 was a profound time for you.
Yes. For me, business-wise, 2022, the world shut down, but everyone got on their phones. They got on their phones, they got on social media, and I am so thankful for that because that's when my business went from making no money to making, by the end of the year, I was producing 6 figures, which that's amazing. You know, starting from $200 a month, end of the year, I'm doing well. I'm comfortable financially. I'm getting to a place where I'm comfortable financially. And once I hit that like success, so to speak, I was no longer in survival mode. I'm not stressed about money because I have plenty of it. Mm-hmm. And that's when I had to face I chose to face my neglect that I experienced as a child. I'd hate to say trauma. I feel like trauma is overused, but it is trauma. But I had to face my experiences as a child, or I didn't have to, but I chose to because I was no longer in survival mode.
Yeah. Just like with health, and I don't want to cut you off. We have free will, and free will allows us to make choices. And you made a choice to start exploring this aspect of your life.
Mm-hmm. And that is also the time when I started gaining weight because I was facing the emotional, I want to say loss, like the loss of the childhood I didn't have, the loss of the parents that I didn't have, the loss of the love that I didn't receive, the loss of the guidance I didn't get it. I never had to got to experience. And I didn't face it head on that first year, of course, but it was like, it was there. It was just like, that's when it kind of came to, okay, I do have some resentment still. Like, I haven't let this go. Like, I'm still mm-hmm. holding on to the pain and resentment that from what I experienced as a child. And June 2022 is when I finally like faced it head on and confronted my upbringing, confronted my mother specifically. And that is when, by confronting her, it was a couple things. It was like floodgates of emotions. Mm-hmm. It was the first time I felt like genuine love for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because by standing up for myself and prioritizing myself and my feelings, I showed myself the biggest, I can't even think of the word, but like just the biggest amount of love. I showed myself so much love by standing up for myself and advocating for myself for the first time at like 40 years old.
But you felt it.
Yes, I did.
That's what you felt, self-love. That's yes. Huge. Mm-hmm. That's such a tremendous gift.
Yes, yes. And then grief. Tremendous grief. The grief was just, I would, because my dog had passed earlier that year and he was 17 and I got him when he was 6 weeks old. And so I had that loss earlier in the year.
Yeah.
Which also helped me to confront my mom because I didn't have Nolo was his name. I didn't have Nolo to distract me. I didn't have Nolo as my emotional crutch any longer.
Oh, wow.
And so it was just me now and no distractions, no financial distractions, no doggy distractions. It was just life. And that's when I confronted her. And after that flood of like love that I felt, it was grief and it felt like someone had died. It was like tremendous, tremendous grief. I probably didn't smile for 3 months, minimum 3 months. Like didn't smile at all. It was very sad.
During that time, how were your lungs?
My lungs were bad the whole time.
So you know what's interesting about where things land in the body? You know, the lungs is about grief.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said to you, I believe sometimes that when we get a lot of lung congestion, these are tears that the body wants to release and let go.
That's highly probable because I cry once every few years. So it's very, very likely for me.
I even know for me, that was an area like when I had grief or if I felt something sad, I mean, my chest would hurt, you know, and oh gosh, thinking about that. Yeah, it's amazing. A lot of times in Chinese medicine, the lungs and the large intestine or the metal element, they are brother and sister. So when I look at the metaphor for a constipation, what is it that we have the opportunity to release and let go? What is it that we need to nurture ourselves so that we can let things go?
Mm-hmm.
And there's always, you know, we can always create stories around things. But I really do. I feel like mucus are our tears.
It checks out for me.
You know, I so appreciate you sharing this because I say this to people and I've said it to family members too. You can't change your past. The most amazing thing that we can do, we're given the gift of free will. I think acknowledging the grief, mourning the loss of what coulda, shoulda, would have been, but then saying, what can I give myself right now that I never got before? How do I give myself and fill myself with that love that my parents weren't able to give me? Because sometimes people like, you know, they probably didn't get it either. It's important for us to get to a point in our lives that we can say, I mean, my oldest brother passed away last month and he was holding on to some stuff. He and I had talks that happened when we were kids. And I said, sweetheart, let it go. It doesn't even matter. I said, just love you. It's all good. Let it go. And a lot of times we hold on to things for years and there just comes a point, you know what? That's what was. Bless it. It's not that you forget it, but you just like, What happened back then, or your life, has brought you to where you are right now? And the great beauty that what I'm hearing is you're giving yourself the gift of self-love and healing. And it continues. It goes on and on. It's a peeling back of an onion. So the more I think we work on our heart health, our heart chakra, meaning not just the heart physically, but the energetics of the heart and opening up and releasing and letting go, we get to heal. You know, in Chinese medicine, all healing takes place through the heart, you know, to engage that. Good for you. So I have a question.
Yes.
Moving forward, what are some dreams that you have? Give me some, what are some, like, I don't want to say bucket list, but like bucket list for the next few years. Like, what would you like to do?
Well, I would like to have a garden in my home.
Nice.
Do I have a yard? No.
No.
But I would like a garden where I can grow my own food, and then a home I can design and give like Architectural Digest vibes. That's as far as I have.
That's enough. You want your own home. You're an earth element.
Mm-hmm. I like moving. I like new spaces, but I also want a home with a garden, like a home base.
That's a good place to be.
I guess so.
So I have a question. Why do you like doing what you're doing? Because I've spoken to some of your followers on Instagram. They've reached out to me and they've actually seen me. And I said, what do you like about Julia? And they said, she's so down to earth and she's just real.
I've done this my whole life. I've always worked in fashion in some capacity. I went to school for fashion marketing. The internet, social media is just a different medium to produce or to work. I love that I get to do, like, shopping is one of my hobbies. Getting dressed, fashion is a hobby of mine. So I get to...
You do it well too.
Yeah, I get to shop, get dressed and be myself, and I make money. I personally couldn't do anything better for myself. Like, it doesn't feel like work. It literally feels like a hobby.
So I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
What is your way of giving back into the world? What brings you joy in giving?
I think kindness, being empathetic to others, never projecting. I think projecting your perspective onto others is a recipe for disaster. Never assume you know something about someone. Mm-hmm. But I think just being kind to others, like having a pure heart and seeing people with a pure heart and open eyes and open perspective.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I am so delighted that you were able to join me today.
I was delighted to be here.
Anything else that you would like to share with our listeners?
No. Is there something?
Well, I am going to share your Instagram.
It's julia.marie.b.
julia.marie.b, as in boy.
Yep.
I got to tell you, she's got some really great fashion tips, and they're just so much fun. So everyone, thank you so much for joining Julia and I today. And I hope you got some gems of information that can help you along. And until next time, I wish everyone well. Again, if you like what you're hearing, please subscribe on iTunes or Spotify. And if you would like to work with me, you can reach out to me at megricici.com. That is my website, or you can click on the show notes or just Google me and I pop up. I would love to work with you. We can see if we're a good fit. But until next time, I want to wish everyone an amazing day, an amazing life, and just sending a lot of blessings. And thank you for joining me on the Hormone Lifestyle Zone. Be well.